And welcome to our fourth episode. Thank you so much for sending all your good wishes and your suggestions and ideas. I really appreciate it. Keep them coming. You never know what might happen. Actually, I can't believe this is series 6. Little did I think that I'd even get past series 1. Now, here's the thing. Your kind wishes and your emails and your texts got me thinking about something. Why do we respond to things in a negative way more than we respond to positive? It made me wonder why we give out about why there's so much negativity in papers and how things can be so nasty and all that sort of stuff. And then I thought, well, if we stopped buying the papers, there wouldn't be a demand for them. And if there's no demand for them, maybe the papers would change to a little bit more positivity. And I suppose we are all drawn to more depressing articles. And the funny thing is, we're actually more impacted by negative events in our lives than positive ones. Another word for this is negativity bias. And I'm just wondering how much of this negativity bias we have in our lives and how much it can impact on how we feel or how we think or how we act. And how much of a desirable effect can it have on our psychological self? It's an interesting one. So I did a little bit of research on it. So what would negative bias look like if we were to take it out and have a direct look at it or stick it out directly in front of us? I think it refers to our tendency to attend to or learn from, and I suppose to use negative information far more than we would use positive information. I think myself that it's about how we can be disproportionate in our process of negative and positive events in our life, and how we understand our world where negative events will elicit more speedy and more prominent reactions than non-negative events. I also think that it goes on to explain, I suppose, really why we often recall and think about insults more than we do when we're given a compliment. It can be also why we often react more emotionally and physically to adverse stimuli. And one of the main things would be why we dwell on unpleasant or traumatic events more than pleasant ones. So what is it basically? It is the way we see the world in a negative way rather than in a positive one, and how quick we are to jump into a negative reaction than into a positive one. So where does this negativity bias come from? And where does it start? Well, some would say that it comes from the adaptive nature of our evolutionary function. And I suppose if you think about it, if you go back as far as the cave people, their daily life was exposed to threats all the time, not just from each other, but from the environment, that we really don't have anything to worry about anymore. For example, predators. Now, I know that we do have to be aware of predators in every sense of the word from a humanistic point of view, but not necessarily from dinosaurs or tigers or anything else in that line. But it's different to living out of that negative fear and of having predators in every moment of your life. Of course, other people would say that our negative bias comes from our early development. For example, we as babies or infants wouldn't have the extensive experience of life to understand. So anything adverse or negative is going to have a major impact. So the fact that we are wired from a very early age or even from our ancestors has or may have a tendency not to be as useful or as helpful as it once was. And I wonder if that's why we get so angry and fed up at different stages of our life today. Let me give you some examples of negativity bias. Imagine you have received a review around your performance, and the review was really overall quite positive. And it said something around, you know, how strong you are and how you achieve the things that the company asks of you, blah, blah, blah. Also mentioned maybe one or two constructive possibilities, pointing out areas where you might improve. I will guarantee that rather than feeling quite happy about the review and the positive comments around your achievements and your strong performance, you will actually be quite upset and possibly angry about the critical comments around what needs to be improved. And in fact, I would go on to believe that for the next few days or even few weeks, you'll be thinking only of the negative review points and not what was positively said about you. Another example, imagine you had an argument with your partner. And when the argument is all over, all you can think about is your partner's problems and issues and their flaws. So instead of acknowledging good side, you're thinking about what the problems are with that person. And if you think about any argument or disappointment that you've had in the past, I will nearly guarantee that even the smallest of faults in that other person will be multiplied by about 200%, while their positive points will not even be given a thought, or maybe it'll be given minimal, or even it might be an afterthought. Here's another one for you to imagine. Imagine you've been humiliated by yourself a few years back in front of your friends. Any bet you can still remember and recall every detail of that humiliation, and you'll find yourself cringing with shame and embarrassment about what happened. And I might add, your friends have probably forgotten all about it, or if they haven't, it's not exactly in their everyday thought pattern. But every time you see them, even at a distance, that's all you will be able to think of, and you might even avoid them. If I remember correctly, there was a study done back in the late 90s, it might have been 97 or 98, by a psychologist, where participants were given pictures of either positive things or negative things, or neutral things, like an electric outlet, or people enjoying a roller coaster ride, or a plate, that kind of thing. And if I remember correctly, the result was that the negative images produced a higher response in the brain, or in the cerebral cortex to be precise, than the positive images did. And the reason for this was because negative information gives off a surge of activity in the critical area of the brain, the piece of the brain that controls our behaviors and our attitudes. And these areas have a tendency to be shaped more powerfully by bad news or bad experiences and bad information than it does positive ones. As I explained earlier about, you know, our cavemen ancestors needing to be on constant high alert, well, we don't have to be. But the negativity bias that they had, we still have in our brains today. And it will affect how we think, how we react, and how we feel. I mean, if you check yourself for the next week or two around your relationships, or when you're making a decision, or how the way you perceive people or judge people, see how many of them are negative and see how many times you're more negative than you are positive. There's a test for you this week. See you.
Silence.
Did you know that this negative bias can also have a huge impact and a profound effect on your relationships? It might even make you feel or expect the worst in people, and especially the people that you've known for a long time. If I give you an example of, let's say you want to say something to your partner, but already you're thinking negatively in the anticipation of how your partner will actually react to what you're going to say. And your defenses are already on high alert now. And therefore, what do? We slip back into that negative bias again. Now, the problem with that is the results of that negative bias, arguments and resentments over stupid little things start to develop. And we know where that can lead. And so if you think about it, the closer you are to somebody, the more weight you put on a negative comment than we do on a positive one. So be aware again of your own tendency to be fixated on the negative in your relationships. And I mean, even in our decision making, negative bias can have a massive influence. I mean, imagine if you have some money and the risk of losing that will tend to loom larger in your mind. We often fear about what will happen to it if there is a negative outcome. I mean, think about it. When was the last time you lost 20 quid and had positive feelings about it? I would imagine for hours, if not days, you would be really angry with yourself for losing it. Now imagine you found 20. How long would that last? Would it last for a few hours, a few days? I don't think so. The fact that negativity, bias, it's so ingrained in our human nature. Overcoming it requires a shitload of practice. And it's like most things that are beneficial in our life. We actually have to do a bit of work in order to change our present viewpoint. There is no light switch, pill, or magic wand that is going to be waved and all turn out wonderful and great. So what do we need to do? Well, how about starting with actually acknowledging that you have negativity bias? Like with everything that is in our life, the first step is to actually be aware that it's there and to acknowledge that it's there. Because in doing that, we give ourselves a choice to change it or to leave it as is. And sometimes we decide to leave it as is because changing is too difficult for us. And then we start blaming everybody else for the way the world is going and why there's so much negativity in the world, when in actual fact, we are part of that because of our choice. Try shifting attention from the negativity bias and redirect it to what's positive around you. And that would include seeking out positive experiences, positive emotions, and having positive people in your daily life. Yeah, and you might even try, and here's an old one for you, but it keeps coming up, mindfulness. Because we know from the amount of studies that have been done on mindfulness, it's shown that it reduces negativity bias and increases positive judgments. Practices like mindfulness breathing can ground your attention in the very present moment that you're in the here and now, which will stop the negative thought or certainly help reduce it. Now, there is another way that might be of use, and it's called reframing the situation. In other words, talk to yourself about your experiences, about the people that play major roles in your life, and how they shape you and how you interpret these people or these events. And watch what you do when you find yourself being negative. Are you only focusing on the bad aspect of the event or the experience or the person? If so, then try looking for ways to reframe those events or those people or those experiences in a more positive way. Now, this doesn't mean that you ignore or you deny or you put aside any possible dangers. Or what was the old phrase, wearing rose-tinted glasses? No, that's not what we're talking about here. It's basically being balanced and refocusing so that you can have a balanced choice and weigh up any event or any person or any experience in a balanced way. Because remember, if you do it in a balanced way, then your judgments will be balanced. One of the things that I've often asked people to do in therapy is that at least twice a day, they write down at that moment in time what they're grateful for. In other words, to be able to recognize positive moments in your life. And yes, initially you have to write them down. We have a tendency to have negative things or negative thoughts or negative emotions and transfer them to what we call our long-term memory storage unit. However, we need to make the same commitment around our happy moments or our contented moments, what makes us feel joyful, things that will take us out of ourselves and give us balance. So if you do find something that makes you happy or something great happens in your life, Try to really focus on it and replay that moment several times in your memory and remember what it made you feel. Did it make you feel alive? And try to put that into your long-term memory storage unit that's in your head. Stay well. Stay safe. Namaste.